As British police continue their investigation, ISIS has already claimed responsibility for last night's attack in Manchester. In an online message, the so-called Islamic State said one of its soldiers carried out the bombing. But the claim was not made public until 12 hours after the attack. So we asked independent terrorism analyst Michael S. Smith if he thought the claim was credible.
Yes, absolutely. And I would not call this a slow production or distribution of the claim itself. What was interesting is that the official statement was distributed by Islamic State propagandists prior to the report by the group's Amaq agency, which is basically headline news a la Islamic State, and is typically used to issue the initial claim of responsibility for this type of attack.
Why are you so certain that ISIS is behind it?
Islamic State is very careful about managing perceptions of the group, and the last thing that it needs is to claim responsibility for an attack and then a video be posted online by the person responsible in which he attributes the attack to Al-Qaeda. There's a very strong competition for dominance in the wider global jihad movement underway between Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. So it's really important for the group to effectively manage perceptions of it as a legitimate and credible enterprise that's worthy of support.
What kind of chatter are you seeing on jihadi social media sites?
Obviously, there's a tremendous amount of celebratory posting concerning this event. Islamic State has been calling for attacks in the West just like this since the fall of 2014. And the UK has been, you know, listed as a priority target for those types of attacks that they want supporters to go out and execute. And you've seen an increased emphasis in calls for attacks in the West versus attempts to travel into the so-called caliphate. So this is very important for the group in that it helps to build further credentials that can be used to generate more support, especially within the ranks of groups like Al-Qaeda, where it's been calling for defections and for members of groups that aren't aligned with it to defect and join its ranks.
How does targeting a concert full of preteens and killing children help them achieve that goal?
During the past year, you've seen a notable increase in incorporation of images of children killed in strikes targeting Islamic State in Iraq and Syria especially. And so what that imagery is used to do is help stimulate thinking about retribution that can be useful to the group. And it also, within the so-called caliphate, can be used to help build and reinforce support in that this showcases the group is able to avenge the deaths of children who have been killed in coalition strikes and Russian strikes targeting its positions in various places in the Middle East.
Michael, is there any truth to the statement that there's been an increase in the number of civilian casualties from foreign airstrikes this year, in Syria in particular, and that this is being used by ISIS and other jihadi groups in their propaganda?
Yes, absolutely. And you do see a very strong emphasis during the past 6 months on documenting deaths of civilians, and especially children. That goes a long way to stimulating a will to act among people here in the West.
It's really hard to get my head around that one. Killing children is going to activate jihadis. People on the fence.
Yeah, I mean, it in their strategic logic, they want to avenge the deaths of all Muslims.
My last question is, could the attack in Manchester, going back to Manchester, is there any sign that launching such a disgusting attack and killing people is a sign that ISIS is on its heels in the areas where it's trying to get territory? And so they're putting their energy into overseas because that's kind of the only thing they can do.
I would advise against that line of analysis. According to the group's strategic logic, as highlighted in the fall of 2014, the group said that you can tell which group is most practicing of the faith by way of the orientation of counterterrorism resources from Western powers. And they went on to say a majority of those resources are being oriented against the Islamic State, not other groups. So, in the views of jihadis, this factors into credibility legitimacy, worthiness of support. And furthermore, what you're seeing with this increased instances of attacks in the West, that further highlights competency with their outreach. So, you know, what you see here is this is a very powerful credential that's actually used to help build and reinforce support within its primary areas of operations.
It's pretty depressing. Terrorism analyst Michael S. Smith, thanks so much.
Thank you, Carol.
To me, it feels a little bit like the killers were in a shadow producer seat.
That's author and social media analyst Zeynep Tufekci. She sees a disturbing pattern in the aftermath of the Manchester attack, a pattern in which Western media often plays right into the extremists' hands.
I'm horrified by what's going on like anybody else. But what I've seen a lot is a few videos played on endless loop. There are videos of people panicking. I've seen videos of sobbing mothers, distraught parents. I mean, it's horrible, but having this kind of media coverage on loop, repeated again and again, not only does it not have a particular news value, it traumatizes the victims and re-traumatizes them. And unfortunately, this is exactly the kind of media coverage that these types of killers or other kinds of mass shootings like this are aiming for. And I feel like we're giving them the coverage they're aiming for on their own terms.
Are you seeing this on social media or on official and respected news sites?
This is interesting. It used to be that there was a lot of that on social media, too. And I have to say, I think people in social media are ahead of mass media on this question now. When such incidents happen, not only do I see a lot of calls not to share gory pictures or not to share the same few videos of people panicking, when mass media does this, you know, when they go and share such videos and repeat it endlessly, I see a lot of people asking them not to. And right now, because of my work, I study social media. I follow thousands of people on many platforms, and I'm just sort of glancing at it. And almost across the political spectrum, there's a visceral understanding that the terrorists are doing this partly so that we will share the kind of pictures and videos that will just horrify us viscerally, and refraining from doing it. Whereas if you look at mass media and across the political spectrum, you know, you can go to BBC or you can go to Fox News or you can go to MSNBC or CNN. The same few videos are played again and again and again. Partly they need to fill the hours, and there isn't that much to say except cowardly, depraved murderers kill children. And television is a visual media, so they just keep playing the thing almost reflexively. And previous research shows that mass killings of this type are absolutely inspired, unfortunately, by the kind of media coverage the previous one gets. And this is not just a phenomenon for religious-inspired terrorism like ISIS, but it's also a phenomenon for school shootings. It's a phenomenon for white supremacist terrorism. If you give them the kind of infamy they crave, it inspires more distorted, mostly young men, to try to repeat it.
One could argue that you have to show what happened and show the impact of it.
I mean, of course.
You know, you can go down the rabbit hole with this, but how should organizations like the BBC or CNN or whatever be handling this, given that they need to be 24-hour news service?
Well, I think there are many ways to handle this that recognize that it is indeed news and it should be covered, just not covered in the terms kind of almost dictated by the killers. One of the things is to focus on victims, but again, not hounding the victims, but letting them speak. Another thing is to focus on the analysis part of what's going on. And I mean, even though it's horrible, and it's kind of hard to say this, it's the kind of thing that we need to cover and then not let it dominate our news 24/7. You can also focus on victims of ISIS in other countries. I had been writing and tweeting about ISIS and talking about it long before it became such a big deal in the Western world, because it has a lot of victims in the Muslim world. You know, it had been killing many more people there. And you can bring in that element that it victimizes people around the world. So we can balance the need to know more with not needing to have the same video on loop.
President Donald Trump has called those behind the Manchester suicide bombing evil losers in life, saying, "I won't call them monsters because they would like that term." What do you think of that choice of words?
I actually don't disagree. President Trump has come to power understanding the power of attention and monopolizing attention very well. And I think his instincts in this case are correct in that these people are seeking a particular form of attention, especially from mass media, and a particular form of description of who they are. And denying them that, both the attention and the terms they seek, seems like a good idea to me.
Zeynep Tufekci's new book is called Twitter and Tear Gas, The Power and Fragility of Networked Protest. Thanks so much, Zeynep.
Thank you for inviting me.